Hello, and welcome to Stardust Records, a Star Wars podcast. I'm Linz, and I'm here with my co-host, Savi. This week, we are discussing episodes 4 through 7 of The Bad Batch Season 3. So let's just get right into it. If you're wondering, did you guys talk about episodes 1 through 3? Yes, we did. We discussed it with For the Republic podcast. So if you would like to see us discuss those there, if you didn't catch it on Twitter, we've already posted about it. So if you want to see us talk about it, you can go check that out. Just go to our Twitter account or their Twitter account and you can find us. Episode 4, I believe that one was called, I have it right here, A Different Approach. And that follows Crosshair and Omega. They've escaped Tantus and they need to ditch their ship. They need to get a new ship. They can't be in this Imperial ship. It's going to be tracked. So they're trying to find a different way to move forward. First off, so excited for Crosshair and Omega to finally be together on an adventure. We haven't gotten really to see that, really, I don't think. So what did you think about being able to finally see their dynamic together?
I feel like it was definitely a long time coming, especially since we've seen Hunter and Omega so often together throughout the first two seasons. This was, I feel, like a really good introduction to how their relationship was going to form and was going to grow. So we kind of see the two of them together. And, you know, normally situations we've seen the rest of the Bad Batch and Omega. And so he was almost kind of testing the waters with her as much as she was with him. I think that they, you know, we're kind of seeing how well they were going to work together. And I think that that bond grew as quickly as the trust did. What did you think in regards to that?
Yeah, I think so. We did get a little bit of that with, I don't know, I'm going to back up and say we did get some scenes of them together when they were trying to escape Kamino. And I think that he was probably thinking about that for a long time, about how she interacted with him. And then obviously throughout her time at Tantus, continually trying to reach out to him while he was a prisoner there, I think that primed him for this moment. Omega, even though she appears younger, and she's made this point in another episode, she's older than him. And I feel like we really get to see that they're on a similar playing field in a sense, like they're almost peers of each other, because Crosshair kind of defers to Omega a little bit, and they actually get to discuss things as if they're in it together. Like she's saying, trust me, like let me do this, like I know what I'm doing. And then later on he's like, now you gotta trust me that I know what I'm doing. And so I don't want to say it subverted my expectation, but I think it would subvert other people's expectations, because when you see Crosshair, you just think that he's going to be like in more of the leader role, I guess. And it was just really cool to see him to defer to Omega a little bit in this episode. I don't think people would fully expect that. So it was cool to see that he kind of let her, like, you know, take the lead in a sense.
Mm-hmm. In what instances? Do you remember them?
Yeah. So like she wanted to try and talk the person into letting them go on the ship. And of course, it didn't work out. So then she's like, okay, we got to make credits. Let me place a buck and try to win these credits. And he just, you know, sat back and was like, all right, let's see. And she did. It didn't go the way they wanted to because of the Imperial guy coming in. But I was happy to see that.
There was also a moment with Crosshair that not scared me, because I feel like we know his character well enough where he wouldn't have done this, but she is going to go after Batcher after the child selling the fruits tells them that Batcher has been taken by the Imperials. And, you know, he kind of hesitates for a little bit. And I almost expected that he would turn around and go and get as far as, you know, getting to the, you know, the ticket counter or whatever. But I, you know, There was that fear, but I knew that he wasn't and isn't like that. And I think that she has kind of, you know, with everyone, including us, has, you know, burrowed into their hearts. So I loved that when he did come back and approach her, he was really honest and was like, I was giggling at this, but he was like, I'm going to help you, but we're wasting my skills. And she was like, all right. But I loved that part because their dynamic works the best, in my opinion. Like, because she is the, I guess, a bit more peaceful approach or diplomatic approach, and he is more of a, you know, guns hot going into the situation approach. And together it worked great. Like, I think in some instances in episode 4, her approach was working well. And then obviously, you know, at the end when, you know, it was a blaster fight, it was working really well with his approach. So I am excited to see the future episodes with that. And I won't jump too far ahead because I know we're still on episode 4, but there were moments where I was thinking about that, especially in a conversation between Crosshair and Hunter. I definitely don't want to go far ahead. I feel like that moment kind of deserves its own patch of time in this episode. But yeah, they got Batcher back, who's the sweetest girl ever.
She definitely grew on Crosshair.
Yeah.
He has a soft spot for her.
From the moment they landed on what I originally thought was Elfrona, because of how it looked in the you know, the scene where they were crash landing, it just looked so similar to how Elfrona is described in Light of the Jedi. And I got really excited, but they didn't say a planet name. They later said a city, the city that they were in. But from the moment they crash landed, Batcher was like hitting the back of his seat, and he literally got up and walked away so she could come up front with Omega. And I was like, oh boy, she is the Star Wars equivalent of a pit bull.
Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh. She just is she's there whenever they need her, and she's so attentive. And I really like how they pay attention to her, they pay attention to how she pays attention to the world around her. There's other moments in episode that we're going to talk about where they cut to Batcher, like, noticing, like, things happening. And I thought that was so a cool touch to add to her, how they show her character, in a sense, like how she's so alert.
I won't claim this realization as mine, but I have noticed it in the episodes with Batcher. But somebody made a point that Batcher is the dog that they got after the family member died.
Oh.
And I have noticed in some, especially in episode 5, Batcher does things that the Batch can't necessarily do on their own. Like, in certain situations without Tech, like, they couldn't have done this. Or, you know, without Echo, they couldn't have done this, and et cetera, et cetera. But, like, they were digging to get through a door, and it wouldn't have been easy without Batcher. So I love that she is kind of not the replacement, because they can never replace Tech, but she's kind of like the patch that has been placed all over their hearts, I think. But it's that's what dogs do. That's what pets do.
They do. I love that. It's easy to be like, oh, Batcher replaced Tech, but it's not like that. It's Batcher is, like you're saying, like a balm to their wounded souls. I feel like this episode is pretty easy to talk about, and considering how much more we need to talk about, I don't know if you have any other thoughts on them on the moon.
Well, I mean, there's that whole reuniting sequence.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they went to a moon of Ryloth, and just, I looked this up. I was like, where did they go exactly? Where it was, apparently, and they meet up with Hunter and Wrecker, and I love how Omega's like, they're gonna be there, like, mm-hmm. It's, you know, and they just trusted that, like, they were gonna be there, and they were. And I was like, I couldn't breathe in this whole scene. I was like holding my breath because I was like so excited that they got to see. I kept thinking, like, oh, something bad is gonna happen, like, it can't be this easy, because it's Star Wars, you know, you always wonder if something's gonna, like, come in and knock you off your feet. But no, they got a sweet reunion. I was just, yeah, I was cheering up.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so happy that they got to be back together. And then, of course, Crosshair
looming in the doorway.
At first, I was like, I can't believe they just ended the episode there. I feel like it was the best place to end the episode on that kind of, like, what's going to happen with Crosshair kind of thing. What did you think about the reunion scene?
I think I didn't think much of it, because I knew that there was going to be tension between all of them. Like, I didn't think it was going to be such a heartfelt moment, especially for Crosshair and Hunter. I knew it would be heartfelt with Omega, you know, because those are kind of her quote-unquote bigger brothers, not her older brothers, but her bigger ones. But I think that they've gone through a lot, so I was expecting that tension. Like, wasn't such a surprise. I know I was just kind of saying that earlier just now, but I don't know. I know that we've said this before off mics. The show is kind of for siblings or for people to get a, you know, a view about what it's like to have a sibling or multiple siblings. There are so many moments, you know, where, you know, with a sibling, you kind of have an argument or there's a disagreement or there's tension. And, you know, it's not always as simple as, oh, I love you, like, you're my sibling. And it can be, but I think that in this more complex situation, it's beyond that, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was really, that whole week, like, leading up to the next two episodes, I was like, oh, I just want, or the next episode, I was just like, oh, I just want to know how they're going to deal with it, especially in front of Omega, because she's obviously matured and can read rooms better and knows Hunter to a pretty solid extent. And I think now knows Crosshair to another extent. So she's now seen both sides of the story, while Hunter has only seen one and Crosshair has only seen one. So I think she's kind of like the mediator in a way, which is, that's how I felt she would be. But then the next episode, love that Echo was like, let them work it out on their own. What did you think?
Yeah, that leads us into episode 5. And I agree. I think that she felt the weight of the tension between them. And obviously she kind of addressed it with Crosshair telling Crosshair that he needed to speak to Hunter. But I love that there was this, that input from Echo saying, you know, they will figure it out. And I think she needed to hear that because I think she felt a little bit of, I don't want to say responsibility, but definitely an urgent, I feel like she would feel kind of an urgency in a sense, because she loves Hunter and she obviously cares about Crosshair, and to see two people that you care about at odds with each other, you want to like help fix it. Mm-hmm. And having that kind of like input from Echo was really, it was really beautifully done, honestly, to get all those like idiosyncrasies of a conflict like that. Mm-hmm. And see that you don't have to like, seeing an interesting conflict resolution there, and to let those two people figure it out. And kind of rolling it back a little bit, at the beginning of the episode, I thought it was so sweet that Shep and his daughter had like given Hunter and Wrecker some fruit for breakfast, but then also hunted down Crosshair and made sure he ate too. Mm-hmm. And I kind of actually wanted to ask you, I feel like there's an obvious answer, but Crosshair, he's got that, his hands are shaking, like it's a product of what he's gone through. But I was wondering what you felt was the origin of that. Like, what do you think of his like shake, like his hands are shaking when he's shooting, or like even when he's not? I don't feel like we've discussed this, and I don't feel like there was a solid answer to that. And I was just wondering what you felt was the cause.
I think it could be a numerous amount of things, and maybe we'll find out. I think it could be something as simple as stress. I feel like all of these things have come to mind. It could be exhaustion. It could be they probably pumped him filled with medications when they were trying to turn him into Clone X. They could have, you know, hit a nerve. They could have, I don't know, they could have done a lot of things. It could be a head injury. It could be a nerve injury. It literally could be anything. It could be PTSD, carpal tunnel. I don't know. I feel like a lot of these things have come to mind very frequently. I think, you know, he's a soldier, so it's probably more on like the, you know, that side of results. Though I wouldn't be surprised if it had something to do with the Clone X thing. He said that he didn't pass the, you know, the transitional period, you know.
Yeah.
So, and it seemed like it was pretty serious. And I won't jump into it because we're not, well, we are talking about it this episode, but we're not talking about it yet. But yeah, I don't know. What did you think? Anything?
Well, as we're discussing it, I mean, I had some, a lot of those similar thoughts. I was wondering if it, like you're saying it on the soldier side of it, I was feeling in the like PTSD mental side of it. This is going to be, maybe this is not, this is probably not what I'm, what it is, but it kind of reminded me how, because backing up, Crosshair was loyal to the Empire. It was trying to be loyal to the Empire. And then he had his loyalty shaken and then changed sides in a sense. And it reminded me of Zuko in Avatar, where how, like, he changed sides, but then he couldn't firebend very well. And I feel like it's a mental thing where maybe, like, all that he's done and been through, transitioning from being all in for the Empire and then his loyalty and his faith in that being totally, like, rocked and shaken and torn to bits, and realizing he couldn't trust any of those people no matter how hard he tried to and how much he put of himself into it. And, like, you know, he went through injury, like he gave his all, and then it was just like he was just trash no matter, because he considered himself elite, like he considered himself the best of the best, and then they just were like, we're just gonna do whatever we want to you. And I feel like it's a mental thing, obviously probably physical too, like you're saying, for everything he went through. But I think that he's trying to get back into his groove because he felt he was so confident before in what he was doing for the Empire. And now he's like transitioning to this different version of himself, and he has to like rediscover himself. I feel like that's kind of the way they're going with it. But I don't know. It came to me as I was, as you were talking, I was like, maybe it's like that. It's probably a mix of all of this, but well, I just felt like we should address it since we hadn't yet.
Yeah, well, there's also, I don't know if you've also noticed this, but you know, in the, I think it's in the poster, but Hemlock is holding his hand, or I've noticed that he's like grabbing his hand as well. So I wonder if it has anything to do with like the neurotoxin, or I don't know. There's so many different options it could be, but they have been like emphasizing on Hemlock's hand. Like they've definitely been emphasizing on it as much as they've been emphasizing on Crosshair's, I think.
Okay. I love how there's all these different, like, what is it? Which way did it go? And I feel like with the Bad Batch, it will deliver. Like, they're not going to just let that lie. Like, they're going to address this. And that's, I think, why I get so like, oh, what could it be? Because I feel like we're going to get the answer.
It's like how they've been focusing so much on this one clone assassin that we'll be talking about later. But like, it's not something that they're just doing to do it. Like, I think it's genuinely building up and doing it well, anticipation. So I'm excited to see. Well, I'm not excited to see, because it means that, you know, it confirms that he's her or something bad happened to him. But I am anticipating what the answer is for his hand.
Yeah. And how he overcomes it. Because I feel like it is getting better. Like, I feel like he is kind of recovering a little bit, at least considering the events in episode 6 and 7. I feel like he's kind of getting it back. And also episode 5. I feel like his aim improved just slightly.
Well, I think this is a really important like character moment for Crosshair, because right now he has only known himself to be a soldier. I mean, unlike Hunter and the rest of them, like they've had moments of peace, like they've been on Pabu and they've, you know, relaxed by the beach and had fruit and sushi and like raised a kid. But then Crosshair, you know, immediately after Order 66, was still a soldier. So I just wonder if this hand thing, like if it doesn't get better, is this what's going to teach him? You know, some people have to touch the fire to learn that it's hot. So I wonder if this is going to teach him how not to be. I guess, like, yeah. What I'm trying to say is that he, like, is he going to learn that he is somebody else outside of Crosshair. Like, is he his own person rather? Because I feel like all of the rest of the batch has learned that already, but him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I agree.
Who knows?
I agree. And you're right that, like, this episode, or episode 5, was a really big character moment because we get to see not only him, but also Hunter kind of reconcile with each other. Mm-hmm. And how did you like the way that was done?
I don't know what I was expecting. I know you asked me how it was done, but it's just first thoughts, I guess. But, like, I didn't expect a jealous Hunter. Like, mm-hmm. I was a little surprised. Not in a bad way, again. But I don't know. Like, because when they got into that kerfuffle towards the end, when Echo was telling Omega that they needed to work it out at themselves, like, Hunter did not deny that what Crosshair said, which was, you know, he said something along those lines of, you're upset because I saved her and you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that it's like a knock at Crosshair from Hunter. I think Hunter is disappointed in himself and he's taking it out on Crosshair.
Yeah, I see that too. I was surprised by his silence as well. Like, he didn't have anything to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. He kind of
gagged him or whatever.
Yeah. That is. He was like,
you know. It's almost like Crosshair helped him realize why he was upset. And then Hunter, I think Hunter is, like, mature enough to know, like, why he was silent in that moment. He was probably like, well, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
They're pretty emotionally mature. In the sense that, like, it almost came to blows, but especially Hunter kind of being able to take it. Like, they go through a lot of, like, high-intensity moments. And so I feel like Hunter, Echo, Heck, when he was with us, and also Crosshair can be a little bit, you know, he was goading Hunter, but they all kind of can put things aside for the greater good of, like, the mission in a sense, like, and I feel like they're always thinking of life in a sense of, like, prioritizing what's important and getting overly emotional about those sorts of things. I don't think that they don't immediately go there because they have to keep cool heads for, you know, what they're doing, but it just goes to show how much feeling they did have towards the situation that they were, like, you know, butting heads about it.
Well, if you think about it in, like, a broader perspective, like, clones had to grow up. There was no like slow development, like Omega, or should I say, like, a regular development. Like, everything of theirs was very amplified and quickened. So I think that they, you know, had to mature, and they weren't, you know, they weren't made for a peaceful life. Like, they were made to fight. So I think that I even noticed that emotional maturity with Rex and with Wolf. Like, they're so level-headed. It's really impressive for people who, like, constantly have to make decisions on the fly.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like, that's what they were made for. Yeah. So I feel like emotionally it can help in the certain relationship situations. I don't know.
And you can see, I love that. I love that point. That's a good point because you can see the difference between them and Omega. But I also feel like Omega teaches them about the depth of emotion as well. They see things, I would say, differently, but the strength of her emotions, I think, also kind of puts things in perspective for them too. Like, in some situations, it might just be like, you know, something happens and they're like, oh, you know, I guess you gotta deal with it, or, you know, just move on past it, or this is, you know, but, like, Omega having a reaction, they're like, oh, this is, like, you know, this means a lot to Omega, and this should mean a lot to me too. And I think that her wanting Crosshair and Hunter to work it out helped them to actually face that, because I think they were like, well, we could just kind of ignore it for now, you know, we'll be okay. And she's like, no, you have to talk about it. And when they did talk about it, they did have to, like, you know, have this sort of, like, there was a friction that they probably aren't used to having, and so, or having to face. And I thought that was cool. And then how, of course, you know, talking is one thing, but the having to save each other, having to work together. And that also, the fact that they had that, like, sort of argument and then immediately needed to go get the worm to go outside of the barrier. Mm-hmm. And Hunter's like, Crosshair, I will do it. And Crosshair's like, are you sure? We were literally almost punching each other.
Barely sent out gang moment.
Exactly. I just love Crosshair's face. Like, he's just like looking at him like,
I know. Yeah. It's like, well, aren't we just fighting a second ago? But, you know, that's how that works. Like, that's yeah. how stuff like that works. That's how sisters and brothers work.
Oh my gosh, the moment where, like, Hunter falls through the ice, and then Crosshair's like, Hunter!
Yeah.
People are pointing out he sounded so much like Tech in that moment. I mean, obviously, they're all clones. They all kind of sound the same. You know, they sound similar.
They're voiced by the same man.
Yeah, but I think Crosshair and Tech had the most similar voices, I guess. And just how, like, Crosshair and Batcher were working together to get him out. I thought that was really sweet.
I think I mentioned this on For the Republic, but there's, like, a headcanon or a theory that Crosshair and Tech are twins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's really cute. I love the idea of, like, a clone twin.
I can see that. I can see that. I feel like they were probably so... I mean, I know that makes me want to go back to, like, the original episode with them together and just kind of pay more attention to how they interacted. It just makes me so sad that, like, Crosshair can't see Tech and can't talk to Tech now.
I know, but...
I know. I'm so sad that they never got their reunion.
Yeah, I know. That is sad. That's what's the hard part about, you know, the stuff that's going on, I guess. There's an inspiration you get in Baldur's Gate with that Lyzelle. It's Lyzelle's inspiration. It's like a child of war or something. And you tell Arabella that her parents are dead. And then you get the inspiration from Lyzelle, but it says something about that. It's like soldiers, something. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, you don't always get to say goodbye.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Of course, that reminded me of Baldur's
Gate. I'm not saying, oh, I wish Tech didn't die so that we didn't. Like, I feel like, I mean, obviously we don't want him to die, but he's dead.
Well, now I feel like we're not sure.
But okay, we'll get into it. I wanted to say that too. I was talking about that with somebody else today. And yeah, I'm excited to get to that, but we'll put a pause on that for just a second. So what did you think about, sorry, let me just back up. Because we did get one other moment before to preface all of Hunter and Crosshair's interactions in this episode before they start, like, confronting each other. Hunter sees Crosshair kind of paying his respects to the clones, like,
yeah, moments. I loved that moment. That was a great moment with Mayday's helmet.
I loved that. That was just, oh, so good. And the fact that he just, like, walks in and he's like, walks out, but he saw it. So that kind of gave him a little bit of, like a pretext to all the rest of his interactions with him throughout the episode. And I think, especially considering, I feel like it's really connected, that scene where he sees Crosshair doing that and the last conversation that they have in the episode where Crosshair finally, like, tells Hunter, like, kind of just, like, was like, you know, I was loyal to the Empire, but then, like, I did bad things and all this other stuff. And I feel like with what he saw in mind earlier, Hunter was able to be like, you know, I've had to make some choices too. We can always move on. And I think that he knows that Crosshair's heart is in the right place now and that there's no room for fighting anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no point. There's no point to being angry and fighting about what happened anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because what would that do? Because Crosshair's already where he needs to be to go forward. And so Hunter's not going to do anything to delay that or push that back because, you know, he he's not upset that Crosshair's back. Like, he's probably so happy that his brother's back, but he just wanted to know where Crosshair's heart was at, you know, if he was going to be able to trust him. And I think by the end of the episode, he's like, yeah, I can trust him now. And Wrecker says as much. He's like, I can trust him, you know. If Omega trusts him, I can trust him. So it's easy for Wrecker, but Hunter needed to be, I guess, reassured. And so I love that. I love how they did that with him. Hunter's so great. Hunter's so great. He's such a good brother.
He is a good brother. And I think he's a better... I think that he's a better brother than he is leader. And I think now, after being their leader for so long, he's learning how to be... Like, I think he's always known how to be their brother. But when somebody is in a leadership position, there's obviously, like, a little bit... I think I'm saying it right. Hierarchy. But now it's, like... They're all brothers now. Like, they're all on the same playing field. I don't know. That's how I've been seeing it. I think that he is like, okay, I'm not your dad, or like, I'm not your boss or your leader. Like, we're brothers, and I think that we can work this out. But I love Hunter. He's really great. I love his want for peace, whether it be like with himself or for Omega or for the rest of the batch. I love that, you know, we got a scene of him and Wrecker drinking tea and like Omega waking up. I was like, this is so domestic and sweet and soft. I hope we get more moments like this. I love that he loves Pabu. Like, he's so obviously, but like, they're all so human.
Yeah, they can.
Right. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Like, the point you were making earlier, how like they're learning to be something other than soldiers, and yet still they're finding this balance within themselves, like who they could really be outside of duty. And yeah, like how you're saying, like I love that for them, and I'm excited to see, because like you were saying, Hunter and Wrecker have kind of learned that. And I'm excited to see Crosshair learn that, where he ends up, like who Crosshair is outside of Soldier Crosshair. And I think we're seeing that already in some ways. And so anything else to say about episode 5? Oh, sorry.
No, I just it reminded me of the moment where he laughed, like where Omega made him laugh when she called his older sisters. Oh my goodness. I thought that was really cute. And it was like a genuine laugh. And I don't think we've heard like a genuine, tender, brotherly laugh from him yet. It was like a really great sound to hear. But no, I don't have anything about that episode. We can jump into 6 and 7, which were, they felt like so long. And it was so funny, but I had told you the night before that there was going to be 2 episodes.
Yeah.
And I was like right about to press play at midnight and I knocked out, which sucked. But I woke up the next day and I watched 1 episode, the first one, and it was so long. It was only 24 minutes, but it felt like I was watching a whole movie. And I was so disappointed. I was like, it cannot end there. Like, I need to know more. And I had completely forgotten that the second episode was out. But yeah.
That must have been such a good feeling, though.
It was a good feeling. I was really glad that I had, you know, forgot. I slept so hard that I forgot that fact. But yeah, this is the second time we were on this planet. I feel like we've was it in the Clone Wars?
Yes, this is Teth. This is Teth, and it's the Boamar Monastery. This is where the Separatist forces had entrenched themselves, and the Republic went to go route them out after Christophsis. And this is one of Ahsoka's first missions with Anakin and the 501st, and where they also encountered Ventress. Mm-hmm. And Obi-Wan and Ventress had a battle. So mm-hmm. I was so like, oh my gosh, they're back, you know. Like, the clones were like, we know a place. Mm-hmm. We know a place. This will work.
It did feel so much like a Clone Wars episode. Like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, this feels... I mean, I know it is, like, the Bad Batch is, in a way, a Clone Wars spinoff, but I thought that it was so nostalgic, in a way, and not only because, you know, so many clones came back for a bunch of, you know, cameos, but I think that it just, like, had those vibes. Like, I was expecting to see Clone Wars characters, which we did, but you know what I'm talking about, like Jedi. And but we got Chuchi.
Yes.
I was excited to see her.
Rex and Chuchi kind of have this sort of friendship, this buddy friendship, where she is fighting for clone rights in the Senate, and she's also helping the clones, you know, escape, and then they're helping her facilitate making connections with the right people to make these things happen. And I want to know more, and I hope we do learn more eventually. Maybe we won't, but about what she was doing with the former separatist leader.
Oh, yeah.
And exactly what they were planning to do. And I thought that was a really cool element to introduce the fact that, like, a separatist and a Republic or former Republic senator, you know, we're trying to get together and make things happen despite the past. I think that's cool because it keeps the through line from the Clone Wars coming into the, you know, into the Empire era. I just feel like it flowed very well. I don't really know where I'm going with that thought, but I'm just glad to see it. It feels natural that we would still see remnants of the separatists in this era. But yeah, I was really excited to see Chuchi, and I hope she stays alive. I hope she stays alive.
Yeah, because for a while we didn't really know her. Like, we don't really know a lot of Republic senator fates. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of hoping hers stays on the more alive side. But that was a really great introduction, and I think that's what set the tone for me for the rest of the episode, especially because we kind of meet this quote-unquote new character, even though we know there's multiple of them, but the clone assassin, I thought was a really great... That situation was a good way to introduce, you know, a larger threat. Or I guess in this case, a smaller threat than, you know, Hemlock. But you know, they capture one and it's a former clone, or it's still a clone, but like a former soldier, I guess. But their like entire identity is wiped. Which, now that we're finally on these episodes, we can talk about it. But that one is kind of put out of service, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of see a new one come in. And I don't know whether Tech is dead or not. Like, I feel like at this point in my Star Wars fan career, like, I never know if anybody is dead. Asajj was in the trailer. You know, we got Darth Maul back. So I just can't help but think that this is Tech. Like, there's just such a heavy emphasis on this specific character. You know, when he landed, he flips down, you know, the lens cover, and that's like such a Tech thing to do. He uses the thing on his wrist. I'm like, this is Tech. Like, it can't not be Tech. I can't think of any other clone that this could be.
He operates, they put so much emphasis on them and on him, and it was so different from the emphasis they put on the first one that, you know, like, got captured. And also, when he is being activated, he's like, why am I being activated? He's like asking the commando, he's like, why am I being activated? You know, I'm so suspicious. I feel like they want us to think it's Tech, and it could be. But then also I'm like, are they going to try and subvert our expectations and have it be somebody else? But then who else could it be? Who else would it maybe be surprised to see? My mind goes so many different directions. The fact that, like, Hemlock was the one to give Hunter and Wrecker Tech's goggle. He had gone to Tech's body. Like, he had seen Tech's body, you know, and to get those goggles. So, like, we know that Hemlock interacted with Tech alive or dead. So there's that. And the way that he could go toe to toe with Crosshair.
Yes, I was about to bring that up. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go. And then, no, you go ahead. You talk about that.
It was an equal fight. Like, it was like an I know your moves and you know mine. Like, I think that there was a little bit of a power imbalance because, you know, I feel like the assassin or whatever maybe has been like at it for a little longer than Crosshair has, I guess, you know. But maybe there's like a training involved. But yeah, I and it felt personal. Like it felt like a personal fight rather than it did like a, oh, I'm just like fighting this person because he's like in the way of my directive or like he's blocking my. It felt like a, he says something and I can't remember what it was, but it was like a personal zinger, I guess. Like it was like, you abandoned, I don't remember, I don't want to like pull something out of the thin air or whatever, but he says something where I was like, okay, this would be so weird, or like it would be the biggest tease if it wasn't Tech.
Yeah, and the fact that like no matter what Wolf said to him, he just kept going after Omega like violently, all of them, and it was like he just had to be kept being reminded, and it would be so reminded not to kill her. It would just be so interesting if this assassin, part of the reconditioning was to like make Tech, if it's Tech, feel like he had been abandoned and betrayed and like everything that happened to him was their fault, kind of like brainwashing. Because obviously these clones' brains have been messed with and tortured and all this other stuff. So, you know, there's that, like, why would it be so personal? As you were saying, like, maybe it's that. And it feels so, so opposite of what we know of Tech, but if what we have heard about what this process is like is true, then who knows? And so then, okay, so we think Tech is an obvious choice. And the fact that they're putting so much emphasis on this clone, I just don't think it's just a random clone. I feel like it's got to be somebody
we know and we've met.
So other than Tech, do you have any other like ideas? I have one really off the wall one that is probably not it at all.
Just say it.
Well, I'm just thinking of clones that we thought were gone that might not be gone. I was thinking Fives, which is probably not true at all. But I was like, Fives would really shock a lot of people.
It's not a bad, it's not like a bad theory. I think it could, it was one that came to mind for me was Cody, but I feel like.
Yes.
Because Cody was in the Bad Batch episodes.
And he was starting to like question.
Yeah.
So what if like Crosshair turned him in and like ratted him out and they took him? That did that to him, and then it's going to be like a big like, you are the one that caused Cody to become like this. It's because you ratted him out trying to stay loyal to the Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. that would shock so many people. Oh, I would be, if that's true. Because
we have no idea where he is. Everyone's always like, well, this could be Cody, this could be Cody, this could be. So I don't know. I wouldn't be. It could be Fives, it could be Tech, it could be Cody. I can't think
also,
of... Also... Oh, you can think of another one. Go ahead.
No, but I was also thinking, like, maybe that's why Cody... Why this guy is not listening to Wolf. It's because he was a commander and they knew each other and he's just like, I'm gonna do whatever, I'm not gonna listen to you. I mean, that could be a reason, too. Okay, I think that's the only... That's the, like, Cody... I was gonna say Cody, too. But yeah, like Fives was going to be my really off the wall one. But I feel like Cody's a good choice because of the fact that like we've seen him before. And I feel like the vendetta against Crosshair would be
more
the comments. They would make sense. So I would be really shocked if it was Tech. I would be like, I don't know if I would like that.
I would. This might sound terrible. This might sound terrible, and I apologize in advance, but I would rather Tech be dead than know that he was, like, tortured and abused by the Empire. I think
That's not a terrible thing to say.
No, I think rather him be dead and have him, like, die a really heroic, sacrificial death in the way that he wants to die than be then have his body be taken from his resting place and, like, submitted or, like, omitted through all of this torture. And this thought makes me really sad that, you know, if it is Tech, then that's what happened. But the thing is that, you know, to play devil's advocate to the people who we were 5 minutes ago saying that it was Tech, how did Crosshair not pass the tests? How did, if it's Tech, how did Tech pass them? And how did he become one? So that's why I'm leaning more towards, like, a clone that is not, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. defective. But if it is Tech, I'm curious to see what's so different about Tech than Crosshair. Or mm-hmm. if they learned from Crosshair and, like,
yeah,
a little harder. I don't know. There's yeah. so many theories, and I feel like none of them are bad. Like, I don't think...
No.
I think that they're all, like...
I saw some people saying it was the sandwich clones from...
Oh, yeah. I was like, okay, well, that one... That's bad. And someone said it was cut, but I no, I hope that he's still like with his
Because didn't they mention Cut and Sue in one of the episodes recently? Didn't they mention them? Didn't Hunter mention?
I have no idea.
I thought
I'll have to rewatch
about them.
When you watch the episodes at like 8 o'clock in the morning, you don't retain as much information as you wish that you did, but
or at midnight the moment it comes out.
Yeah. And then you sleep.
It just feels like a fever dream at that point. But, okay, so Wolf, we have Wolf back, and now that he's back, that means, you know, and we know Ventress is going to be in episodes. We could get a Wolf-Ventress rematch. I would just love for them to butt heads together, you know? Again, I need to see it. No kissing. I don't remember if it was like in canon or not, but I if I recall, you'll notice Wolf has like a prosthetic eye, like one of his eyes is ruined, missing. He's a cybernetic one. I can't remember if it's canonized now or not, but Asajj was the one that did that to his eye at some point. But I loved how he and Rex could talk it out, and it was just so refreshing to see a clone, you know, not brainwashed. Like, he wasn't, it was like he didn't have the chip in his head.
Yeah.
He was acting like he was totally under his own free will, which kind of surprised me. I was like, but also Cody was like that too.
Cody?
Cody, when he and Crosshair met in season 2, Cody seemed to be fully in control of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, to some extent, like not just like a mindless drone, like some of the other clones have kind of appeared to be.
They also kind of wiped out all of the Jedi. Like,
that's
true. They
didn't have anything to trigger them.
They followed their order. Like, they followed through. So I do wonder if it's just like, true. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they do still have it, but no, there's no more to them. There's no more Jedi, but
yeah. But it was nice to see.
Especially because Echo went to go get Gregor, and we're almost to our final Rebels trio, which makes me worried about Echo.
Makes me worried about every clone.
Yeah, the rest of them. Yeah, the rest of them. Like, where did they go? And what happened to them?
Yeah, I'm hoping that they all just put them on a nice planet and kept them safe, and then Rex and Wolf and Gregor were like, let's just go and try to keep helping people.
Well, okay, well, that Wolf, isn't Wolf the one in Rebels, to go back to the chip, isn't Wolf the one in Rebels who is adamant on killing Kanan?
I don't remember if he went as far as trying to kill him.
But
he was very distrustful of him. Yes,
yeah, so maybe he does still have the chip. Like, they followed through with their orders. So.
That's true.
Eyebrow wiggle. Race.
I was really sad. I was so sad that their base got destroyed and all their hard work.
Yeah, what a mess too. Like, what a... It's kind of like a bowl in a china shop moment. It was like one thing after the other and like a big mess. And yeah, it was kind of sad. All the explosions, and they kind of don't have a home anymore.
Yeah.
They lost another one.
Yeah.
Seems like anywhere they put roots down. Nemec! Was that on purpose? Like, was that a thing or that they did be silly goofy? Or
I was watching with subtitles, so it wasn't spelled the same exact way, but I feel like they did. It was a little homage to Andor. And I was really worried for Howler for a second. I thought that he got, like, died. And then at the end, he was, like, there. And I was like, oh, he's not dead.
Oh, speaking of he's not dead.
Hauser. Yeah.
I was glad to see him back.
Yeah. Yeah. He was so... Take that as you will.
He was there. He was definitely there. I love that, you know, when we last saw him on Bryloth, he was so, like, calm, cool, and collected. And then now he has this, like... That, like, the reaction picture where it's like, where's your rage? Like, like, that's how he's like. But I feel like we skipped over this all, but Crosshair gets there and to Teth, and all of these clones have these beef with him because of what he did with the Empire, but specifically Hauser. Hauser's like, this is personal. Like, you got a bunch of my guys killed. But everyone who had beef with Crosshair after the fight with the assassin helped him up. Rex, Hunter, if I'm not wrong, and Hauser all helped him up out of the water. And I was like, I love family. I love family tropes.
Was it?
I was like, go ahead.
Wasn't Hauser the one that like reached down and grabbed him? Like, wasn't he the one that like,
well,
in it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Rex said something with Hauser in the room to the first clone assassin. He said, it doesn't matter what you've done, you're still a clone.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's that. Oh, you had a realization. Go ahead.
No, I was like, oh, it makes me feel so good. No, yeah.
Well, Rex, I feel like Rex is definitely like the North Star for a lot of them. Including, I feel like Hunter, as the leader, never had a North Star, and now he finally has one, and I feel like it's Rex for him. Like, I just get those. Ah, I love it.
Me too.
I love it.
So happy.
Me too.
I know they're not going to do anything with this, but we're just talking about clones, and I'm a sucker for the Republic Commandos. But every time Scorch appears on the screen, Scorch is the Republic Commando with the yellow that keeps appearing on Tantus, and he's the one that activated the I think he's the one that activated the assassin. I just am like, please let him speak. Somebody give me more of him. Because I know they just put him in there because they can, and they're not going to really actually probably do anything with him. But I feel like the Republic Commando squad was kind of like the original Bad Batch squad in a sense, because they kind of like, they had a very similar dynamic. And so then when they made the Bad Batch, I was like, okay, this is kind of their answer for the Republic Commando series, giving these guys something instead of them. So the fact that they have Scorch, not really named, but just there on Tantus, I think it's kind of a nod to like that inspiration. Any hoosies? Trying to think any other thoughts on 6 and 7. I feel like we kind of bounced around the plot, but
I feel like we hit all the nails on the head. I mean, we've been talking for over an hour about it, about all of the episodes. So, I mean, they're only 20 to 25 minutes. So I feel like there's only so much you can cover. This season is like up there with Andor for me. I really liked the Bad Batch. Like, it wasn't like obviously my favorite show, but season 3, I feel like a kid again in a way where I felt this way during Andor 2, where I was just so excited, and every week I would think about it the whole week, and I'd be like, where are they gonna go with it? What are they gonna do now? How could they leave us off there? But I think that this is, personally, I think that this is the best season. And that's not putting down the other seasons. That's just like this animation style. Like, I have been so impressed. Like, so many of the shots look like concept art, just like taken right out of a book, a concept art book. Like, it's so amazing and so impressive. And like the way everything is starting to tie together, and how this is probably going to answer so many questions about the greater story. I don't know. I didn't think that, like, a couple of rogue clones were going to become some of my favorite characters in Star Wars, but here we are.
Yeah, they definitely have grown on me, too. I remember being kind of like, what's this about? But it's neat to know that they were in the minds of the creators during the Clone Wars. Like, they were going to be in one of the final seasons, the Clone Wars. Like, there was a lot of concept art and everything for a long time. So it's cool that they're finally able to tell the story and evolve the story beyond the Clone Wars and kind of taking us into a side of the Empire, a side of the galaxy, a slice of life that we haven't seen before. I love looking at these eras from all different angles and filling in the gaps and questions and just giving us a broader picture of it just enriches. It enriches the story, all the stories. Every story enriches everything else. And I'm just so, I don't even know what to expect for the next episode.
I don't know either.
What's going to happen? And I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited not to like have an idea and be going into it surprised. As you were saying, you said you feel like a kid again. I feel like, you know, when I was sitting in front of the TV waiting for the new episodes of the Clone Wars, it gives me a similar feeling too. And yeah, I am loving it. And I'm sad that it's going to be over eventually, but I hope that we still get shows like this, and I hope we get more animated shows. I love Star Wars animation, no matter what it is. Like, every single animated show they've done for Star Wars, I love it. It's all great. The High Republic shows, the Young Jedi Adventures, I love those. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so somebody had, speaking of more animated, which I would also love, I feel like Star Wars thrives in animation, but somebody said that they had met Ventress's voice actress or whatever. I don't want to, like, stir the pot or spread anything, but, you know, she said it. So, she said that this, like, wouldn't be the end of Ventress. So, somebody said that, like, it could be a Tales of the Jedi thing, but speaking of Tales of the Jedi, I was so hoping for High Republic, especially because of Young Jedi Adventures. I feel like, you know, people who are going on Disney Plus and seeing it, they're like, oh, this is a new era. And then, you know, with the Acolyte coming out, not everybody is going to have read Phase 1 or Phase 2. But, you know, giving people who have not read Phase 1 and Phase 2 and a way into the High Republic through animation would be really cool.
I feel like they'll do it. I feel like they're going to give us something.
But people want it.
I really wanted, speaking of wanting in the High Republic, I finished the Young Jedi Adventures before I really started reading Phase 1. Like, right as I started reading it. And so I didn't really understand that I don't think we're going to get any more Young Jedi Adventures because of where it ends. I don't know that we're going to get any more. And I'm just like, I haven't
I haven't watched it yet, but I know it's Lena So. Lena So comes in the, and it's right before, or it is during the Starlight Ceremony, the, like, okay.
Yeah, so, it's the dead, it, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. So, well, there's so many.
I mean, maybe we'll get more before, you know.
Yeah, well, there's so many Jedi in Young Jedi Adventures that, like, are in the greater, like, the adult novels and stuff, obviously, because they were introduced in this, but, like, Loden, I know, is in it, and Belle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll get more, because there is one kind of, like, I feel like if they ended it there, it wouldn't be, like, terrible, but there was a character that I feel like they had more to say about.
Who?
Tabor.
Okay.
There's more to say about this character, that character, so maybe they will do more. And like you said, there's some time between the dedication and everything else that happens later that they could have some adventures in.
There's over a year, so there will probably be more stories. I wouldn't,
because we need more nubs. We do need more nubs. That's true.
A cutie yeah. pie.
But I do hope they... I hope that they do, like, some Tales of the Jedi with them. Or something completely new.
Well, Backlight is, in a way, completely new. But, I mean, it is going to, like, bridge a gap.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in a gray area, I think, like Ethan mm-hmm. said.
I don't know. I just think that even though it's going to fill in a gap and give us, like, some High Republic stuff and then, you know, be in this little area, I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted to do more that would, like, give context to the High Republic. Not everybody's reading the books, so it's like you have Young Jedi Adventures, but then they also are like, well, here's some supplemental media, you know, to kind of make you understand Acolyte more.
Mm-hmm.
This is just me wanting it. This is just me wanting it and trying to find some way to have it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, like I said earlier, I feel like Tales of the Jedi is a good way because the Clone Wars style is very familiar, and I think it's a good way to introduce these characters that many people might not know. Like, I think that it would be a great way to tell, you know, a story of the Firebrands, or to tell a story, you know, between all the Padawans, or like Stellan and Vernestra, or even Stellan and his master, or Var. I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot that they could do. Like,
I think they should have the whole season be just High Republic stories.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I'd be interested to see how they'd handle it. But the thing is, like, with the High Republic is that there's a lot of content, but there's a lot of space between the content. Yeah, the moment I started reading Convergence and they were like, Aram and Aranel, and I was like, oh, I'm still traumatized.
And the fact that, like, that, oh, who was it? Was it, her name? She was, like, in the water, and he had to go...
Ziri? The yeah, main Ziri, character? Had, like, one of the main characters?
Girl, I read phase two, and now I'm in phase... There's, like, there is 100 more characters' names in my brain now, okay? Some of them are very similar, okay? Don't fault me. I knew it started with an X. I just couldn't remember.
So, Ziri. Yeah, Ziri. Ziri
Balls and Fawn around. Jumped in and saved her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great. Life,
and she's like,
it's really great. It's good.
Yeah.
But any final thoughts about the Bad Batch episodes 4-7?
Just a stamp of approval.
That's it.
Yeah, it was just great. I'm so excited. We'll be back for to discuss more. We'll probably be a lot more consistent. We won't have this big gap, but we just wanted to catch up, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have this episode, and we have a High Republic episode with a fun guest, and then we have our interview with Ethan Sachs, where we've been excited to put out, so we hope you enjoy those. We'll probably, like, by the time you listen to this one, the other two probably have been out, but whichever one is edited first, considering our time yeah. and our schedule, but we'll be back on a pretty consistent timeline soon, especially with the
yeah.
releasing of the episodes. But where can we find you on social media?
You can find me at Cosmic Love on Twitter and at Rebel Risen on Instagram. Still not very active there, but I'm there. And where can we find you?
You can find me at Enderisms at Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. And you can find our podcast both on Instagram and on Twitter as Stardust Records without the O, so Stardust Records. But we'll see you next week or in 2 weeks. They're on a bi-weekly schedule for another episode of Stardust Records. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.